All right, guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard. I've got John Barbin on the phone. And today we've got a really, really, really special thing that we're going to do for you. We actually interviewed Tristan Creswick the other day, and we're going to let you listen in on that. But John, let's go ahead and talk about some quick pointers that guys are going to get out of this interview.
Yeah, so this interview, I just kind of re-listened to it to make sure to highlight the points that really came out. And so we're going to talk about eating less calories and how calorie counting was one of the main things you can do to help you stick to eating less calories. We're also going to cover how low the calories actually are to lose weight. And no matter how many complex diet tricks you want to try to throw at it, and if you think you can outsmart dieting and outsmart calorie counting, you'll find out that you can't. And that it's almost across the board, the calories are always lower than you think they are. Other things that we'll cover, the idea of to get anywhere, you need a goal, you need a deadline, and you need a reward. It doesn't really make sense to have a goal without a deadline, and it also doesn't make sense to have a goal and a deadline without a reward. So I will talk a bit about getting anything done kind of requires all three of those. And then a really key point that that comes up, and it's something that Brad and I know of, and Brad and I have written about, and we personally know what happens, but really hard for us to say it to people, is when your body changes, the way you have to act or the way you will act will also change, and the way people react to you will change as well. So there's like three things going on there. There's the look and the presence you have that's changing. There's how you should and will act with that look and presence that will change. And then there's the perception and how other people receive you will change. And Tristan outlines really he outlines it pretty clearly on how it worked for him. And it'll really make sense when you will be a different person inside and out as your body changes, and people will recognize that. And I guess the end of it is the way you kind of view yourself, the way you define yourself, and the confidence you'll have when all these changes start happening. That's another piece that comes out of this, and it's something we'll talk about later. And that's the total package, and that's kind of what we were getting at with the whole system in the first place. And Tristan does a good job of explaining all of that from real life experience.
Right. So yeah, obviously we'll talk about this once we get in the interview, but like I say, without further ado, here's Tristan. All right, guys. We have Tristan Creswick on the phone and also John Barbin on the phone. I'm Brad Howard. And we've got Tristan was the actual third place overall winner in the last transformation contest. And what we're going to do today is we're going to pick his brain a little bit, and we're going to find out kind of what things helped him, where he kind of came from, where he started. And get some ideas, because we've got the new transformation contest coming up as well. And if you're looking to get involved, these are going to be some of the same things that you're going to run into. So Tristan, where are you from exactly?
I live in Wollongong, which is a city about an hour south of Sydney, Australia.
Okay. So you're out of Australia. And how old are you right now?
27.
You're 27. Okay, and basically, what when you first started with the Adonis stuff, where did you start out? Were you in Build and Burn?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you started out in Build and Burn, and do you remember what your AI was at the very beginning?
To be honest, I don't.
You can find it on the blog. We actually you sent it to us, and we have it recorded. So.
Okay, yeah, I didn't remember right off hand, so I didn't know. But where did you end up?
48 or something like that, I think. Oh, I can't remember.
Okay. So what's the deal? I mean, how long what was kind of your history with working out and getting better shape, kind of prior to all this stuff? What kind of workouts did you do, if any?
I've kind of gone through a few phases, I guess. Probably about 5 years ago, I started doing, like, I went, I got a membership at the gym and started going, and man, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I'd just be in the gym, like, sort of, you know, Googling other people there and go, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good. So I just have a go at doing that. And I was clueless. So that lasted a little while, and I was just, you know, at the gym for the sake of working out. And didn't see any progress, so gave that up. I had another phase, where I started, I had a personal trainer, and that, like, I got some kind of good results there, but it was so expensive, and at the same time, like, you know, knowing what I know now, he really didn't know what he was doing.
Do you have any examples of what makes you say that?
I think he kind of knew, you know, what he was doing workout-wise, but I mean, I don't know what really a personal trainer should do, because I only sort of only had those small experiences one, but and he was kind of a friend of mine, so I was getting, you know, mates rates, and we'd work out together, and there was, you know, I did sort of put a lot of trust in him, because we'd work out together, and the guy was pretty fit, but then, you know, we'd go and eat together, and he'd be like, yeah, you gotta eat like a machine, and, you know, so
the typical eating to bulk up, right?
Oh yeah.
How did that work for you?
Well, I think, you know, I got some muscle. I can't say I ever really, like, lost my gut, you know, like, and I think that's the biggest experience that I've had with you guys is knowing how to lose the puppy fat, I guess, or the fat around your stomach. And
gotcha. Sure. So how did you actually, you know, find out about us?
Actually through the, I do a little bit of the, what would you call it, the pickup artist.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, you know, I read the game about a year and a half ago, and then I sort of, like, I was subscribing to a few different things, and I think I got a link to you guys from Christian Hudson. I think it was.
That's cool. I actually met him for the first time this past weekend. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really cool
guy. Yeah, and then I checked it out, and at the time I hadn't really, I hadn't been working out, and I was really out of shape, like really, really out of shape, as you can tell. I think I sent you guys the like, photo before I even started any of these honest stuff.
And, gotcha.
Yeah, I looked like shit. can I say that?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, man.
I'm not gonna say this is rated X, but, you know, however it comes out, you know, life has no edit button, so we just kind of go with the flow. So what kind of, I mean, obviously you heard about us from Christian, who obviously is a really cool guy, but what kind of reservations did you have from the beginning? I mean, were there some things that you were just like, ah, oh, man, there's no way that's true, or
did you?
Well, it kind of makes sense to me, you know, doing the training and that sort of thing I've done before. And actually another time, I might mention, one of my close friends who, you know, he's been a boxer, and he spars with sort of a famous Australian boxer, and got into, you know, muscle building, maybe 2-3 years ago. So he really gets into it and eats big and all that sort of thing. So, and I trained with him for a while, and it was, you know, all about eating big and, you know, just putting on all this, like, crazy weight. And I went through this phase, like, I was trying to get to 100 kilos. And again, there, you know, like, I looked like I had muscle, but I still wasn't, like, what I'd call in shape. And so I think, I don't know, like, what you guys are saying really, really made sense to me about, like, you know, it's all good getting big, but what is big to look good to the female eye?
Right, gotcha. So basically, at what point, or how far ahead of it was that you actually picked up the systems and stuff before the actual contest started?
Right, I think it was, It was about 5 weeks, I think. Yeah, because I finished the contest 17 weeks into my overall, into the beginning of my training. So yes.
Right. So even though you basically, I know actually, yeah, it was only a 10-week contest. So
yeah, sorry, it must have been 7 weeks.
So 7 weeks. So you basically got some good results even though you were already 7 weeks in after jumping in. That's pretty cool. So, what made you decide to actually do the contest in the first place?
The first 7 weeks I was, you know, getting into it. I wasn't, I was committed, but it wasn't, you know, that pressure. And I thought, like, mm-hmm. I'm a competitive guy, so I have a coffee roaster and we just opened a cafe and my experience is a barista, and being a barista, I've competed in, coffee making comps around Australia and placed pretty well in them. I came second in a national comp and won my state championship. So, I saw the comp and I was like, yeah, this is just what I need to put the pressure on me to go hell's bells.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I've seen that a lot of times. It's kind of like Parkinson's law. Unless there's some type of not scarcity, but some type of definite timeline. A lot of people, especially when it comes to cutting down and eating less, I can sympathize with you. I'm kind of the same way, and I know John can probably kick in on that as well.
Yeah, I mean that's part of the whole reason of things like contests. But a goal is just dreaming if you don't have a number to it and some kind of urgency associated with it and a reward. So, I mean, the contest had all of those things, right? Anyone can have a goal of losing weight, but if you don't have urgency, you don't have a deadline and some kind of reward, then you're just dreaming again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So walk us through the 10 weeks. I mean, you know, what time of day did you train? I mean, was there anything extra that you did? How did you cut down? I mean, was there a specific way that you ate that you found worked best for you?
Yeah, okay, sure.
And just your general feeling about it.
Yeah, at the start of it, I got your nutrition plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So at the start of it, probably the first 2-3 weeks, I stuck to that pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then, pretty much. I guess I could overall sum up my eating like the first sort of 6 weeks, I was probably cheating a bit more than I should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely. But in saying that, I was doing Eat Stop Eat, so I always every week I'd have at least one 24-hour fast day, and most weeks I'd be doing two.
Right.
So I think that was crucial. Then I came across, I don't know why I did this, because it seems stupid after what you guys say, but I found this diet. I think it was because I just wanted to, it was all about eating what I want at that stage. I found this mm-hmm. diet. It was called the 4-day diet, where it was mm-hmm. 3 days eating, only carbs in the morning, predominantly protein, and then 1 day cheating, eat what you want all day.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for about I think I did 3 4-day things, so almost mm-hmm. 2 weeks. And then obviously by that stage I could see that that wasn't working.
That it was not working?
No.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So the cheating day there was a bit too much then?
Yeah, I think, I think it may have been working, but I think I was just cheating too hard on my cheating day.
So then what'd you end up doing?
So that leaves me, 2 weeks left in the comp. And so just on the eating side of things still, I had to step it up there. So I, every 3 days, I did a fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty, even on the days that I wasn't fasting, I was eating very low calories.
Right. So So I guess, so were you still using those meal plans as kind of a guide at that time on the eating days?
Not so much. No, okay. Actually, and I'd recommend this to anyone. The iPhone, like, you've got all these great apps on there, like calorie trackers and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And lots of them have all these, you know, like, they've got restaurants in there, like, especially chains and that sort of thing. And all that, all those things have got, you know, how many calories are in that meal. So mm-hmm. I found this app that worked, and actually I downloaded about 10 apps and, like, went through them all and found one that worked, you know, to do what I wanted it to do. And yeah, and that sort of kept a record of what I was doing.
So how many,
which really helped me.
Okay, that's good to know. So basically you just had a calorie counter in your pocket, so to speak. Did you have a goal, like a calorie goal per day that you're trying to stay under?
Yeah, I was trying to stay under 1600.
Okay.
As mm-hmm. well as have my fast day. So, you know, it would have been down, I'd say, yeah, at least 30%.
Yeah, that's about what I was doing. I was trying to stay under 15 during my cutdown.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And what were some of the hardest parts about that? Because you said that was kind of the last 2 weeks you really went got rigid with that. What were some of the tough things that were either going through your mind or the, you know, the temptations or you know, going out with friends, was that interfered with? I mean, what kind of things were you kind of things that could have been possible roadblocks? Obviously, it was only 2 weeks left, so you kind of had you knew it was crunch time, so I'm sure that helped. But what were some of the other things that you were kind of running into that you really kind of had to, you know, kind of step aside and be like, okay, well, all right, I need to be aware of that?
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, it's getting towards the end of the year, so we had Christmas parties on. I'm getting invites to all this stuff. And I had to hibernate, so I just, you know, shut myself out from pretty much my social nightlife. And then again, you know, I work a pretty solid, like, 12, 14-hour day, mm-hmm. most, five days a week. And, like, there were times when I'd just be like, oh, I'm starving. And then, like, you know, and I'd smash some food and, like, and then, you know, after it, I'd feel so guilty. So I'd, you know, like, that was, there was one day where, ended up eating all this food in the morning, and mm-hmm. it got up to, like, you know, 1,300 calories or something from that, and I was like, oh, man, and I felt so, like, so bad about it, so I didn't eat anything until 9, just had, like, you know, a little small salad and something to tie me over to get to sleep. But, you know, it's pretty, like, it was crunch time, and yeah, I had no social life for that 2 weeks, and, you know, a lot of things over the 10 weeks I said no to, but hey, at the end of the day, like, pretty sweet returns, fit body, and you know, tank third overall.
Right, and you had some, I guess you had some self-correction in there, which is awesome. I mean, that was, you know, that app obviously helped you out because you were, you know,
you
knew it.
Yeah, you got to put in the meal every time you do it, and then you see the calories, and you're like, oh man, like, what have I done? And guilt is an amazing thing.
Guilt is a
great drive.
So could you say that your one of the big eye-opening experiences was how much calories people, like, how were you shocked at how much you actually ate and how much is in the typical foods in the typical restaurants?
Yeah, oh my God, like, the more you look into that stuff, and I'd recommend to anyone, like, who's got the ability to get an app like this or some way of counting their calories to do it, because it is absolutely amazing, the stuff we eat, and, you know, no wonder people can't lose weight.
Yeah, even in, you know, around here, Starbucks is big, and even in the type of, you know, latte, whatever Chino things people buy around here, that they could have 400 or 500 calories just in their morning coffee.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. I like to call Starbucks an ice cream parlor masquerading as a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like, it's. Do you experience people doing that kind of thing, like, on a daily basis, just ordering Do you guys make stuff like that?
Not really for us. We're like a sort of, I guess you call it a specialty store. So we don't do, you know, syrups and ice cream and cream and all that sort of thing. We're more about like the flavor of the coffee, not everything else that goes with it. But, look, you know, I couldn't agree more with that. Like, there's eating one of those things, drinking one of those, you might as well be eating it because it is like eating a big meal.
Yeah, except you don't get the satiety from it, or you know, 10 minutes later you're hungry or whatever. So that's really interesting. Just because of realistically, you went 2 weeks really hardcore. So you had, I'm not going to say virtually no social life, but let's just say you had virtually no social life. You just kind of crammed it all down into 2 weeks, and that's interesting because. You know, that's kind of one of the things John and I talk about on a perpetual basis is the fact that, you know, although it might take, you know, you a year or two or three to gain, you know, or 10 years to gain the weight you have, you can realistically strip off a lot, especially if you're starting off in build and burn. You can get some significant fat loss in just 10 to 12 weeks, and you only had and still be able to do and have some fun and stuff like that. You only had like 2 weeks where you really, really clamped down. But I'm sure now you're socializing a lot more, stuff like that as well.
Oh, yeah. Back to business as usual in that field.
Right.
Have you noticed, Tristan, have you noticed a change in the way you eat since the contest? Like, are you more aware?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can't stuff yourself like that anymore. I remember this is a good one actually. The weekend before I actually started doing before I actually started the program, so 17 weeks before the comp, I stuffed myself, like I absolutely gorged myself with, you know, all everything I could possibly eat for 2 days solid, like. I was eating fast food like Macca's, KFC. We've got a couple of different pizza franchises and all that sort of thing. Ice cream. I just sort of stuffed myself, and I could like eat at that stage. And now, like, you know, I struggle to get through a Happy Meal.
Yeah, I can attest to that. Once you get used to eating less, eating big, it's like you have a tolerance to eating big, and you can just stuff yourself with as much stuff, but after a couple of days of going lower, it that tolerance kind of goes away. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how it works for me. How about you, John?
Same thing. Same thing happened to me. Now when I go out and have like a, you know, go out with the guys and watch football or something, and I kind of eat whatever's there, and we'll have like, you know, pizza, burgers, wings, whatever. I feel like I'm doing like eating a lot. And then kind of I look back and I'm like, man, I don't eat anywhere near as much as I used to at the same kind of occasion. Same with Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner, because I was doing a cut down right through all of those holidays, and I organized it so I was no holds barred eating on those days. And now I look back and I'm like, I didn't eat anywhere near as much as I would have last year at those same dinners. So I'm having the same experience both of you are having, that eating big, it still feels big, but I bet you the three of us can't even fit half the amount of food in.
Oh yeah, normally at Thanksgiving and Christmas I'm having 2-3 plates of food, and I probably had one this time. You know, I'm just like, oh, this is good stuff. I'm just like, I never get it, so I'm going to eat it all now because it's never coming back. You know, it's lost opportunity.
but I'm the same way. Now even if I, you know, it's just less. I just can't even fit it in.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So Tristan, what kind of experiences have you had as far as, you know, now that your body has changed? I mean, you know, work-wise, you know, women-wise, you know, other guys, I mean, whatever. I mean, do you have any stories or anything interesting that's happened to you just because of that?
Nothing like, you know, that was really eye-opening, I guess, like this, you know. I guess the most eye-opening, or the best part for me was, like, I put those those photos I sent, you know, my comp photos on, I just put two on my Facebook profile. And, yeah, ever since that, like, I've been getting a bit of attention from that. And, you know, like, I love the spotlight, so this sort of thing was
yeah.
I was loving that. And I guess another thing, like over summer, going back home, because it's summer over here now, mm-hmm. going back home to where I'm from, and we all went out on the lake down there and went wakeboarding and that sort of thing. So I'm rocking around with no shirt and like even all my my friends' girlfriends, I could see were, you know, like checking me out and that sort of thing. So, hey, I you know, couldn't be happier. Like, what a sweet return.
Yeah, how'd that feel? No, I mean, I know this sounds bad, but how'd that feel to have, you know, other dudes, you know, girls and stuff, kind of giving you the eye, even though they weren't trying to give you the eye, they're still kind of giving you the eye, and then, you know, how'd it feel?
Yeah. They're wearing glasses and, you know, you can feel eyes burning on you and that sort of thing. But, it's such a confidence building thing, you know, like knowing that, you're desirable, I guess, to people.
Yeah. It's
really, you know, you stand taller, you're so much more confident in everything you do, I think.
Yeah, this is going to sound kind of strange. I'm going to ask you this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Do you kind of feel like a mini sex symbol now?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I know it sounds like a weird question, man, but it's like once you – I know for me, once I started getting in a lot better shape and my AI started improving and people were looking, you're walking around the pool and, you know, you're walking around with your shirt off and you're actually – for me, I'm always looking for excuses to take my shirt off now. But I'm serious. But it's almost like you're like this mini sex symbol where, you know, and, you know, in that video where I told the story about how I was at this seminar and like the girls were trying to take my shirt off. I mean, that's a true story. I came back and told John.
Yeah.
He was like, "Are you serious?" But it's like, what does that do to your confidence levels?
It's awesome. What can you say? And it's like that, like just on that, like I've got my in a share house with three other people and two of them are girls and they're always like, you know, go on, take your shirt off, Tristan, walk in. So, and that's just awesome. But again, like, what's that scene in the 007 with, what's the latest one's name?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, yeah. When he walks out of the Caribbean beach, I'll have times where I walk out of the water and I feel like I'm Daniel Craig, 007. I mean, and that's just awesome, man. It's a, you know,
that's funny.
It's such a confidence building feeling, and you feel good about yourself. You look good. You feel healthy. Like,
yeah, that's interesting. So, and I've said this multiple times. And I've seen this. Would you say that this is probably one of the best inner game things that you've ever done?
Yeah, without a doubt. Because, you know, like, I think one of the things with inner game is sort of always being in the corner and that sort of thing. And I guess that's where you kind of are in your mind. Like, when you walk into a room, you kind of be in the corner or in the shadow sort of thing. Whereas when you've got, like, this, you know, this Greek god body, you look like Dr. Manhattan off that
mm-hmm.
mutant thing. Not that hopefully I'm on the path to that. But when you look like that, you know, you're not gonna sit in the shadow. You're gonna have your shirt off every chance you get. You're gonna be out there trying to, you know, meet as many people as you can, and 'cause you know they're gonna be like, damn, like you walk into a room and you got presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say it's really funny that it's even though you're getting the outer appearance taken care of, the real change is what's happening inside. And you know, I get lots of arguments, and you know, even to the part where people say looks don't matter and stuff, which I disagree with. I think that's totally I think it's totally misleading. But from what you're saying, it's not so much the look for you as the way it's made you feel, and in and in response to that, your confidence levels and all this stuff. So it's basically just compounding on itself.
Yeah, well, like I'm a pretty confident guy at the at the end of the day, and you know, so I've always been like pretty cocky and all that sort of thing, I guess. And I've always, you know, had a pretty last year alone, I was just under 50 girls. But it brings it so much more. Like, and you know, you go through phases in your life. Like, I had a massive breakup with my girl, and I think that's what brought me into the pickup industry. I went through this like sort of, I felt really small, and you know, felt pretty bad. I was lacking heaps of confidence, and I found this pickup stuff, and you know, it sort of progressed from there. And then, you know, last year I was doing pretty good, and then mid last year I found you guys, and I think, you know, like it was actually the last half of the year which you know, really I was having threesomes and all that sort of thing. So I think, like, whether or not it was the look, there was without a doubt a lot more confidence in my inner game, and gave me the ability to, you know, do all that sort of thing.
Yeah, here's. Have you found, or do you remember that report I sent out talking about that? You know, once you start having, you know, this type of body, that you have to actually watch yourself, or people think that you're. I mean, that confidence actually is cocky, and it becomes. Have you found that too?
Totally. So I've changed that around. You know, I've become. I've had to change my game to be a little bit more humble, a little bit more. For lack of a better word, shy. Just, you know, not that, because if you've got this overpowering figure, this, you know, Dr. Manhattan looking kind of guy, the perfect Adonis, and you're, you know, overpowering and that sort of thing, girls are just going to crumble beside you, and they're not going to feel good around you. So you need to sort of, you know, step back a bit and be more that person that's, you know, going to open the car door, as you were saying in one of your other podcasts. Open the car door for the girl, pull your seat out when you're at a restaurant, and be that, you know, ultimate gentleman.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you kind of, once you get to that point, it's like there's no more fake it till you make it. I mean, you got to actually tone back. So, John, do you have anything really quickly that you wanted to top on any of that stuff?
No, that was really insightful, and I'm glad that Tristan, you shared that you actually have kind of changed a bit the way you act and noticed that with your body. I guess my next question is, are you just going off of the momentum of placing in the contest, and now just continuing your training, and you know, how do you view how you're going to take care of your body from here on in?
Yeah, okay. I took 2 weeks off. I think, you know, it was 17 weeks for me. So, and I was really, really proud. If you want, you know, go for, I've got some other photos that are really kind of clear and show me, at the start, and I just looked like shit. So I looked at that and saw where I came from, and I was like, yeah, great, you know. This is good. So I took 2 weeks off. I didn't do my Eat Stop Eat. I did no training. Did some sports and, you know, wakeboarding and that sort of, and that's a workout on its own. But coming back on the first week of work, I was straight back into the gym. I guess I've toned down. One of the things I was doing in excess to the Adonis over that period would be I would walk for an hour anytime I could. And I've sort of stopped that, so I'm just barely, and it's now what, my second week back, so I'm back onto. I started again at the first week of Build and Burn, just to do that full 12-week cycle, and you know, I think I'll probably start Eat Stop Eat again within the next week or two.
Right. So when you started back, I mean. Obviously, at least for me, if I take some time off or whatever, my workouts aren't quite as strong. But usually, after about the first week or whatever, I'm back to where I was. Are you about the same way?
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, because I took that 2 weeks off, And I couldn't pig out because, you know, your stomach shrinks and like we were talking about before, that sort of thing, you just can't sort of bring yourself to do that. But, I wasn't drinking water and all that sort of thing, and I was drinking a fair amount. I was enjoying my break. But, I put on about, I think, 3.5, I think it was like 3.7 sort of kilos. It's hard to tell exactly. But I'd say somewhere between 3-4 kilos. But I didn't look, all that much different.
It sounds like water.
Yeah, it sounds like a systemic water retention. That it's 3 or 4 kilos. It's kind of impossible to put that much fat on, so you're probably retaining water. And I mean, me and Brad have proven that you can put that on in a day if you want to, if you just eat enough and drink enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you got to remember, you're coming out 2 weeks out of a really low calorie level. So, and then when you kind of go back to normal for 2 weeks, I mean, yeah, I could see that easily. Hell, I put on what, like 8 pounds over like Christmas weekend, but I'm back down to where I was pretty much overnight. So yeah, it was, that's interesting. You had that too. Cause you know, I kind of want people to hear that, you know, yes, we're saying this stuff, but I want people to hear other people's experiences, especially somebody that's going to be in build and burn like you are starting with that, and see what kind of experiences they can expect if they just decide to just do it. So that's pretty cool. So let's kind of wrap this thing up. I mean, what would you kind of say to other guys who are just looking to get in shape? I mean, you know, what have you really learned from all this?
Well, heaps, you know. I think I haven't done I wouldn't say I've been a bodybuilder at all, but I've always been, you know, had a general interest in some sort of health and nutrition, and just, you know, the rabbit hole with you guys, it's just, it's amazing. So I think like nutrition wise, you guys are spot on. Like, and there's nothing else that I've seen to date, that is really, you know, really as accurate as what you're saying about, calories in, calories out and that sort of thing. And then, as far as the training, like, this stuff works, and it's not hard at all. You know, you got to, when you're in the gym, you got to be in the gym. Your head's got to be focused in the gym, and I think that's where you where a lot of people miss out if they're not they're at the gym just working out. So yeah, like I'm like ecstatic about finding you guys because it's been such a massive change in my entire life, I guess.
Yeah. How much do you even worry about reading about any other fitness and nutrition stuff?
Oh man, I hear stuff from my mates all the time. One of my mates at work is doing the latest Men's Health 400 reps, something or other, and he's telling me about it. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just
kind of. I don't listen to any of that stuff anymore. Like, I listen to your podcasts and you know, and follow the stuff that I've already learned from you. I just enrolled in the Adonis University, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Are you going
to
be on live tonight?
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah.
Great. Well, you just wait. The rabbit hole goes a lot deeper.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be bad. I already know it. But no, that's interesting because. You know, there's just so much stuff going around, and we talk about it all the time. But, you know, you're seeing results, you know, big-time results with our stuff, just basically kind of going, just doing it and seeing how ultimately simple. I wrote an email today saying basically that we try to grossly oversimplify everything because that's the only way people will actually do something. And you've done that, and now that you're in that spot, you don't even waste your thought space with any of that other stuff. You're not like, oh, this is not even worth my time to even think about. I've got this handled. So you feel like you've got this handled.
Yeah. I feel like you guys have given me, you know, ultimate control and ability to look like I want to look and feel how I want to feel.
Right. So I guess the next question is, do you feel confident in this area?
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Totally. So. Like I feel like I and I have conversations with you know people about it all the time, and I feel like I know what I'm doing, you know, enough to do it for me. But when I find that sometimes when I tell them the sort of things that you guys are telling us, mm-hmm. I just don't get it out the way that you guys do. And, you know, therefore they kind of question it, and because they, I guess, haven't done the program and, you know, seen this rabbit hole like I have, they're still in the brainwash mode of all the minutia.
Right, exactly. That's what I meant. That's what I was getting at. I mean, it's the whole, you don't have to be an expert to get expert type results. So basically you've decided for yourself, you're like, look, man, I'm competent at this. I'm getting results. There's no need for me to, you know, bother with that other stuff. I'm in the U just to see how deep the rabbit hole goes. But, you know, you got killer results just basically ignoring all the other crazy stuff, which, like I say, that's awesome, man. John, you got anything on that?
I guess this happens to a lot of people. The one thing you can do for the people who still are skeptical is you're living proof, right? Like you did it. And I mean, if the conversation can just end with, well, I mean, look at, you know, just tell them, look at me, I did it. So this is what I did. If you like the way this looks, you can do what I did. If you don't, you can go off and read whatever it is that you're reading. And I find a lot of people criticize stuff without even trying it. So I'm like, well, you know, Tristan, you have the authority of experience now. You've actually done it, and you've done the contest. You've followed, you know, the plan and various things, so you can speak expertly from your experience, where a lot of people read and speculate and opine, and then if you ever ask them, well, what was the last program you followed, they, you know, that's kind of where it ends on them because they haven't actually tried. So I guess the simplest answer is just lead by example and just say, well, that's what I did.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Definitely.
I agree. Well, Tristan, man, I really appreciate you taking some time and being on the call with us. I mean, this has been eye-opening for myself. I know John just said that it was pretty eye-opening for him. I guess, John, you don't have any other questions you want to ask him. I think we pretty much got a lot of stuff out.
No, that was fantastic. Thanks a lot, Tristan.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate it, man. Yep. And we will chat with you later, buddy.
All right, cool.
All right, guys, and we're back. We hope you really enjoyed that the interview with Tristan. I mean, he actually had a lot of good stuff come up, and you know, we actually were able to talk about a lot of different things. But you know, the first thing we want to really expand upon that we probably maybe could do a little bit better on is the confidence and quote unquote inner game that you'll get once you begin to, you know, once your body begins to change. We really can't quantify it. It's tough to say what your confidence is going to increase by 50% or something like that. It's really tough to do. And so this is kind of one of these intrinsic things that you'll get when your body does change. And like I say, it's hard to quantify and it's hard to explain, but it does happen because of the way people actually begin reacting to you. So, I mean, John, I know you have a couple points on that, especially some of the things you wanted to expand upon what he was talking about within the interview.
Yeah, well, he brought up, and I mean, any guy who's gone through a change like this, you're going to notice that people react to you differently, and you yourself, I guess, have to start acting differently. The way, and you're going to put yourself in different situations. You're going to, you know, things you may have shied away from or been reluctant to be involved in before because of how you perceive the look of your body, you're going to change or be open to different sort of situations to put yourself into. And I mean, that just all comes with the feedback you're getting as your body changes and as you kind of recognize how your body's changing. So it's a bit of a there's like three different things going on, like I said, and you kind of have to be aware, and you will be. It's not that hard to figure it out, because people are going to start acting differently, and you know, some people may even mention it, and you know, you're going to get hints, you're going to get clues from other people, and then that's kind of when you realize, oh, like my physical presence actually has changed, and the people are changing the way they act around me. Purely, just you haven't even said a word yet. It's just the, like, your look, your presence actually has is causing a different reaction. And that's, you know, as long as you're even remotely aware of what's going on, you'll notice, oh, that you don't, there's certain ways you don't need to act anymore, or certain things you don't have to try to do to get attention, because the attention's coming your way already just based on your body. And then that's where how you act kind of has to fit with how you look. So there actually is a way to act and a way to look, and they kind of go together. I always tell a story about a guy I know who's just enormously huge bodybuilder, and he sort of overdoes the quiet, soft-spoken, humble, polite sort of angle, only because he's so intimidating that if he was loud and boisterous, it would just scare everybody away, because he's already has an intimidating, imposing figure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about the one. You know, there's some common themes that have come up within all these interviews, and it kind of started here with Tristan. I mean, he talked about confidence, which we got from every single person. Their confidence levels definitely changed, and we didn't even probe them for this. We just asked how they felt, and basically these are the things that came about. So confidence was one. Pretty much everyone noticed the fact of, you know, having to change or be aware and cognizant of where they are socially, and that, you know, people were reacting to them a different way. The other thing was the goal and the deadline was pretty much a theme of why people jumped in the contest up front. And the final thing was the simplicity of everything, and how pretty much, you know, two of the guys actually we had to talk into to actually doing the system at all, because they couldn't believe how simple it was and there's no way it could work. And then they finally, you know, jumped in and they ended up winning. So, you know, there's kind of a four-headed, you know, thing there. There was, like I say, there was the confidence level that increased. There was the being aware of how things were changing socially within the people around them, the goal and the deadline, and then the simplicity of it all. So I guess talk about the goal and the deadline a little bit for the guys. I know we kind of went over it within this past interview a little bit, but maybe some highlights.
Well, yeah, and then Tristan brought it up. He phrased it as pressure. Without the pressure, there was no motivation. And that kind of goes with just about anything. It's sort of like without the last minute, nothing would ever get done. And you know, we've all crammed for exams and done things like that where, you know, you're surprised at how much work you can get done in the 11th hour right before something needs to be completed. And that's basically the idea of being in the contest. And you don't have to be in a contest if you don't want to. But when you put yourself in one, even if you don't win, at least you have a deadline. Like, and it's serious, and especially when you publicly declare it. And, I mean, that's the goal. A goal without a deadline is just dreaming. And a deadline without a reward, that's also not as good as, you know, that's still, there's a chance it's not going to get anywhere. That's like having a to-do list that you never get to, and you never move it to the done list. So you kind of have to have all three put together. So, I mean, we obviously put the reward up. You don't have to do your own self-imposed reward. We were the reward giver, I guess, in that case. So, yeah, goal, deadline, reward, all three of them are necessary to, I guess, to build the pressure and that kind of feeling of like, this has got to get done.
Yeah, and specifically with the rewards, I don't think a lot of people really understood how much money was on the line. I mean, we put up $2,250 to the winners. So, I mean, Ron won $1,000, and then Jason won $750, and the other two guys won $250. So, I mean, there's a significant amount of chump change. And then for somebody like Jason, who's over in China right now, that $750 goes a long way. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, like I say, and then the other thing that was really, really interesting with the goal, the deadline, and all this stuff was that, you know, like we predicted, the person who followed it the best was going to win. So that was pretty interesting. Let's talk about the simplicity of everything. This is probably the thing we're having the most trouble getting across to people. People come in, they read, they look at everything, and they just cannot believe how simple it is. And because of that, in their minds, it's like, there's no way this can work. I mean, why do you think this is?
It's because they don't want it to work. It's people. A lot of people just want an excuse. They don't actually want to take action. They just want more validation that their life is as difficult as it is. Mm-hmm. So if we, I mean, I can design you a unbelievably complex workout, and diet that you would have absolutely no hope of ever following. And I could come up with all kinds of scientific explanations of why that's the that diet and exercise would work. I mean, you know, I can come up with periodization schemes and all different metabolic, blind you with science on like how your metabolism works. I could pick out every single hormone in the body and come up with a reason why, nutritionally speaking, you need to eat one thing over another and time it. And it could go forever if you wanted it to. And for people who are looking for an excuse, that is the perfect way to be like, look, see, it's impossible. I could never do that. You tell people that, oh, just eat less. Now they're faced again. I mean, I've said this 1,000 times, but now they're faced with the harsh reality of like, oh, is that all? Like, now I actually have to do it. So, and I mean, even Tristan, he tried to fast forward it or tried to come up with a trick or like, you know, he found a diet and right in the middle of the contest, tried to follow some other diet besides what we say. And, you know, it didn't work for him. And you know, people try to, I still don't get why people think that there's more trick to it than that. But, and then, you know, when he was finally at the end, he just like everybody else who's ever dieted down, all he did was drop his calories, and that's what worked. So it's kind of like the Brad Pelon did a really good blog post. He said, you know, if it was do or die and you had to lose 10 pounds, how would you do it? And one of the first things you do is just stop eating. You wouldn't read books on the best carb cycling diet or read books on the best fat loss diet. Like if you had like 10 days or, you know, or I was going to, you know, pull out a gun and shoot you and it's like you've got to lose 10 pounds. First thing you do is just stop eating. And, you know, so we kind of all know it. We just don't want to admit it. And it's unbelievable. Some people actually ask for their money back or something just because they think the system's too easy or too simple. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? You actually want something more complex? I mean, okay, I'll go ahead and make something way more complex, but, you know, it's completely unnecessary. So I guess they have a hard time wrapping their heads around the simplicity versus the minutiae and all the junk that they're hearing in the rest of the sort of fitness media.
Right. You know what's funny is Da Vinci said, simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. And I like to think of it as being elegant versus being brutish. I mean, complexity is one thing, but, you know, if something is elegant, then, you know, it's basically – it's not supposed to look hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, or it's not supposed to look
getting,
like –
getting this stuff done, it doesn't – if you just put it on paper, like what actually works – It doesn't look like much. Doing it does require some effort, but it doesn't look like when you read it, it doesn't look like much. This is that disconnect between simple and easy. Just because mm-hmm. something's simple doesn't mean it's easy. I mean, you said that, and that's one of the best things I've ever heard. And that's, you know, so you feel like a failure if something is simple but difficult to do and you can't do it. Then you feel like a failure, like, man, that's so simple. Why can't I do it? Think about eat less. That's got to be the most simple instruction ever, but it's really hard to do. And mm-hmm. the idea of something being difficult but simple is people just can't get their heads around. So they'd look for something that's both complex and difficult. And that, you know, like that would be like solving a calculus theorem or something. I mean, that's not simple, and it is and difficult. So, I mean, I guess we just think that, you know, things that are difficult also have to be complex.
Right. You know, it's really funny. I mean, you know, the quote, they never let them see you sweat. It's, for me, it's like when it comes to weight loss, it's never let them see you trying to lose weight. So, like, I mean, if you're bringing in boxes of stuff, like bringing in all your food and stuff like that, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose. I mean, you want the pounds to melt off and people wonder what the hell you're doing because they can't tell that you're doing anything different in your life.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, it's like for instance, to be quite honest, like when I go home and like I always, you know, creatine and stuff like that. Like if I do any type of supplementation, I always do it when, you know, my girl's not around. Because when she is around and she sees me like taking supplementation, I always get this funny look. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Like, almost like she thinks you're cheating or something.
It's not even that. It's
you're just being obsessive, like
You shouldn't be working this hard at this kind of a look. It's like, oh my God, really? You're taking it to this extreme? I mean, she doesn't understand in this regard, but just the perception of it is like, yeah, I think you're going overboard with this whole, you know, getting bigger muscles thing, even though it's just creatine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's same thing with losing weight. I mean, it's like, you know, if I was going to like just go to the grocery store and only buy like, you know, only the healthiest stuff of all time, and she would have to eat it too.
And constantly then, looking for the low fat version and the low cal version of everything.
Yeah, I mean, she would look at me and be like, "Really? I mean, are we going a little bit overboard on this?" And that's
yeah, no, that's a good analogy. Like, do it without it looking like you're doing it. That's actually a really good way of saying it.
Yeah,
and one, the way we do it, it would never look like you're doing anything.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole point. Isn't that great for people to look at? And what you'll see in most of these interviews is that that's pretty much what happened. I mean, there were some. I mean, you know, guys were fasting and stuff like that, but for the most part, their lives got a lot simpler, and we actually point that out, and they actually point that out in their interviews. It's a simpler way to live when you're only controlling, you know, two equations. The one equation is how much do I work out, and the other equation is how much do I eat. It's only two equations. They're not intertwined within each other or anything like that. They're just controlling those two equations, and that's how they got every single person. That's what happened.
And the answer for both is pretty simple.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not anything complex. One of the things that you'll notice in the Ron interview is that you'll be able to pick up things, and I know that you're probably, if you're listening, you're thinking some of the same things that these guys are, because they were just like you. He looked at it, and he says, "Oh man, this doesn't look like it's going to do anything." But then when he got to leg day, even though people are complaining about, you know, no squats and stuff like that, and he was big into squats, he was like, "Oh my God, I hate you guys. You know, this is a lot harder than it looks."
Yeah, well, it's just like the book by the cover thing. I never thought it looked that different, but I guess some people think it looks different. So whatever. It's you got to do it. Like people that, you know, if you haven't tried it, it kind of doesn't make any sense to try to pick apart why it might not work. And that's why I don't get why these guys are surprised that it works, because I'm just like, well, obviously it'll work if you do it. But to me, it seems obvious. But to them, they describe it as some people describe it as a leap of faith, and I'm like, really? Like, this is a leap of – this seems so simple. You're telling me that eating less calories to lose weight sounds like a leap of faith. That's just testament to how messed up people have gotten by listening to the nonsense they hear in the mainstream media. I was right. Actually – today I was listening to a podcast, some of the podcasts that I listen to, and flipping in my car and flipping back and forth to the radio, and it was amazing to me at the utter nonsense that's on the regular radio versus what you can find in podcasts from, like, you know, go straight to the source, like listening to, you know, like, you know, if you're, clearly you're listening to us right now, and you know, the, and whatever other podcasts you listen to, it's just the information is so much better than kind of what you get from mainstream media that's been filtered and controlled and, you know, is heavily based on advertising and who has connections. It's night and day how much better the content is.
Right. I mean, and here's the thing, and if you're listening, I want you to pay really close attention to this. We can't, like, two of the winners, like we just said earlier, we had to convince them to try it after they bought, both Pierre and Jason. Jason had it on his shelf for 10 months before he got to it. And we had to – I mean, Jason was arguing in the forums with John, I mean, creating a storm. Pierre, you know, he was back and forth with me. Just, I can't believe this is going to work. You know, I want my money back, stuff like that. And literally I was like, dude, man, just give me 2 weeks, man. Give me 3 weeks. Get back to me. Tell me. I mean, because, you know, you're making this thing more complicated than it is. And, two of the winners, this is how it was. So I know more people are thinking the exact same thing, but guys, man, we can't do this for everybody. I mean, we can't convince you to do it, because there's just only two of us, three of us, if you count Pelon. I mean, and we can, I mean, we want you to do it. I mean, that's why it's there. I mean, but in reality, I'm gonna take this back away. John says that he was saying that it's kind of, you know, people don't want to, you know, face the facts and stuff like that of how easy it is. To me, I don't really think it's that way. I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to say that it's not really your fault, and I'm not saying that because it is a marketing thing and I'm trying to get you on our side and create this big enemy or whatever, like we talked about how you do it. But the simple problem is this, is that there's so much conflicting stuff out there. Everybody's trying to sell something to you with a little bitty different hook and using all these scare tactics. Like I saw something yesterday about somebody talking about how high fructose corn syrup is like the devil, and if you take any of it, then even if you're in a caloric deficit, then you're going to get fat. And I was like, oh, come on. But that stuff is out there. And it's like people are demonizing different foods. You eat this food, you get fat. You eat this food, you get fat. Every single food will make you fat according to, you know, one any source, no matter what state you're in. And this will kill your metabolism. This will kill your metabolism. So, I mean, people are kind of in a state of fear and not a fear, but just paralysis, because you don't know which direction to go. And when somebody provides you with a simple solution amongst all the complexity that's out there, it can't possibly be true in your mind. And yeah. I understand that. I understand that, because seriously, this is the battle we fight on a daily basis. This is why we
daily basis.
This is why we tell you. I mean, in the forums, even after people buy, you think they bought in, they're going to do it. Even in the forums, in the customer forums, people are, I mean, they're like, no way this is going to work. No way this is going to work. And now, you know, now that we've got winners and people getting, you know, results and all this other stuff, you know, these guys are jumping in just saying, just do it. But, you know, on a daily basis, this is our challenge, to just get people to just suspend disbelief. Just do it. Just do it. That's, I mean, we even give you the trial, you know, for $4.95. You can jump in just so you'll jump in and start doing it. That's all you got to do, is just do it. And, you know, it's, oh man,
what's wrong?
You know,
the argument just never, it never.
This is why we tell you, we're like, look, man, if you're going to be subscribe to our stuff, if you're going to be subscribed to our stuff, please do us a favor and unsubscribe from everybody else's stuff. Or stay subscribed to their stuff and unsubscribe from our stuff.
Yeah, one or the other. And if you actually do, you know, and if you follow through with our stuff and you don't like it, then that's our fault. We failed you, and then you have every right to criticize us. But, you know, Jason came second, but I fought with him for months beforehand on whether or not he should even try the system. And I'm like, as if you're actually fighting with me on whether or not this will work, and you haven't even done it yet. So I just, you know, I didn't get, I actually don't understand the reasoning of why you would just buy something and not use it, and then openly criticize it to the person who made it. You know, like, I didn't get where he was going with it. I'm like, what are you asking me? Do you want another workout? Like, I didn't even understand what the point of the conversation was. I'm like, if you don't believe in it, then just go ahead and go find something else. But I guess my question was anything else working? So, and then that's kind of where, I mean, we'll get into that when we go over Jason's stuff, because that was the other thing. If you're not bought into, it doesn't matter what you're doing right now, you're still bought into a system. If you don't train at all, you've bought into the concept that training doesn't fit in your life, or you just, you know, you, or you believe, or you currently just don't find a reason for it in your life. If you are training a different way or a certain way, something has caused you to buy into that, whether or not you've done all the research on your own and you've come up to the conclusion that that's the one for you. Most of the time it's marketing, unless you're actually do research and exercise physiology, you know, for the rare people that's what they do, you're probably just going to design your own workout. But for just about everybody else, there's some marketing that's, you know, convinced you that there's a way to train. So you've bought into something, whatever it is you're doing right now, you've bought into that something somewhere along the line, you've bought into it. So it's, you know, maybe hang a question mark on it. It's like, wait a minute, why did I do this again? Like, why am I involved in that one? And so if you're, you know, we just have our theory, and we just think that, you know, I personally think ours is the right one for people who are training to look better. And I said, you know, and consequently, I think everyone trains to look better. So,
right, exactly.
I mean, that's it. It's, you know, but if you know, if you're an athlete and you need to train for athletic performance, you don't use our stuff. Go use an athlete's. Go do the. You probably have a strength coach that does that for you, or, you know, if you're an endurance runner, or if you're, you know, a power lifter, you should be powerlifting. You shouldn't be doing our stuff. But if you're doing any of those things, and you're not one of them, like you're not a power lifter, you're not you know, an athlete, you're not an endurance athlete, whatever it is, then what are you, you know, what are you doing that for, and how did you get to the point where you bought into that?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's all going back to goals, man. It's all going back to goals and being clear on what you really want out of the whole thing, because
I think part of it is nobody ever kind of admitted what training was for.
Right.
Like the look. Like, I guess people thought it was, I guess other fitness marketers and people thought that was vain or something, or I don't know what, like, it's inappropriate to say that. So that's where like functional training comes from and all these other nonsensical reasons to train that most people don't care about.
Like, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't want to say we're like the only people that openly talk about it in our quote unquote marketing, if you want to call it what we do. But yeah, I mean, I think we're some of the only people that actually legitimately come out and really just kind of get in front of it and say, look, I mean, if the look is what you're after, if you're after this look and it's a proven look that is going to help you, and you're going to find, you know, as you listen to the rest of the interviews, that, you know, it definitely has some social acceptance to it, then this is what you do. And you just, you know, pick up the system or whatever, and you just plug yourself in and you just do it. Like, and I don't want to say no questions asked, but I guess at the end of the day, it's kind of like, do you want to, like, fitness, health and fitness is such a funny thing to me, because like the vast majority of guys really don't want to know how their car works. I mean, they want to understand the basics so they can like change their tire or something like that. But all they need to know is they put the key in, they turn it, it turns on, they push the gas, it goes, it gets them where they want to go. And that's fine with them, totally fine. That's how I am. Like, I don't want to know. You know, I just need to know enough where I'm not going to get screwed if I take it somewhere. But when it comes to this stuff, it's like,
Everyone has an opinion and everyone tries to, you know what it is? It's an identity thing. This is what we're getting down to. Do you identify yourself with your training? Which I kind of think is a bit like, that's just not cool. Like training is a tool in your life, but it shouldn't be the way, at least I don't think it's a way to identify yourself. Like, you know, do you do athletic training or powerlifting or functional training or whatever the kind of bodybuilding, whatever it is that you're doing is, I think a lot of people get caught up in the lifestyle just because they're searching for an identity and, you know, I think everyone should go to the gym at least just for the health, if anything, just for the health benefit, but on top of that, for the confidence and everything else that comes with looking better. So I personally think it's a tool to help you look better. But the lifestyle of training and all, I mean, that's just part of what you do in your life, but it's like, you know, being into fitness and being into like nutrition and reading a lot about it and opining about it all day long, that just seems like such a colossal waste of time. Like, I don't get why, you know, unless you research in that area or you are a trainer and you need to know about that stuff, I don't know why you'd spend all that time like reading about it and being like sort of into it. Like, I don't think it would be that cool if people identify you as the workout guy or the fitness nutrition guy in your group, because that just sounds like, am I making sense? That just sounds so thin and so like pointless to be labeled that way.
Yeah, I think
almost
guys,
like, I don't know. I would never want to be labeled that way if I didn't, you know, I guess people would label me, but this is like what I do. Like, I think, you know, if it's like, not what you do for a living, that's kind of a weird thing to be labeled with.
I think it's like having a car, man. Like, it's like, you know, this guy is, you know, this guy's the powerlifting guy. This guy's the bodybuilding guy. This guy's, you know, he's the functional training guy. You know, this guy's the Corvette guy. All he buys is Corvettes. This guy's the, you know, Porsche guy. All he buys is Porsches. I mean, there's a certain identity that's attached to that. I think what we need to do is come up with, I think another problem is we need to come up with some strategies to help guys actually explain to people what they're doing and why they're doing it. Even myself, I'm a perfect example. You know, when I was in Austin, I was talking to a lady, and you know, we got talking about, you know, weight loss and stuff like that, and you know, she was trying to lose weight, and she was like, well, what do I need to do? And I just eat less. And she was like, and her husband had been doing our stuff, and he was getting results, and she started bringing up, so okay, well, yeah, that's true, but don't you need to eat multiple times a day? I mean, I was like, nope. Oh, I don't believe that. I mean, that just means it's going to wreck your metabolism. I'm like, nope, not true. Boy, there's no way that can be possible. Why would you say? Oh, I just don't believe that can be true. I mean, you know, it's going to wreck your metabolism. You have to eat multiple meals, or you're going to collapse. And I was like, and I finally looked at her. I said, do you understand? I have two of the world's leading minds in the field of nutrition working with me. This is what we do, and I'm sitting here telling you right now that all you have to do is change this one variable, just the one. It's not how you eat, it's how much. And she just couldn't buy into it.
You know what? Logic and belief are centered in two different places in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to – then that's the problem. People have it – it's not a logic thing anymore. It's not what does the data show anymore. It's a belief. The idea – like the media has done such a good job, and the sort of what – I guess I keep saying the media, but just what we see, you know, what we see in here – is so pervasive in one direction that it gets ingrained as belief, and that's when you can actually throw logic aside, like the eat less thing is clearly logical, and then start, because it attacks a belief, and belief isn't centered in logic, it's centered in emotion. So it's tough, and it's actually, and I mean, you know, these guys are proof. They've fought with us before they started doing stuff and following the program, and when they finally did, their belief changed, and then it fit with logic, but it doesn't always fit with logic. So
right.
I don't know. There's a divide there. I mean, you know, if you're, you know, you listening right now, you probably have things that you believe that aren't logical, and there's other things that you believe that are logical, and there may be a point in your life you can remember where you kind of were faced with your cognitive dissonance of believing something that didn't make sense. And, you know, a lot of people face that, and some people don't, you don't want to go through that, like facing that. So that's what, you know, people like Jason did. Eventually it's like, oh, and then afterwards you're like, oh, that makes sense. And then you feel a little silly for believing the thing that didn't add up. And, you know, just because everyone else believes it around you doesn't make it right. Belief never makes things right. That just means you believe it.
Right, exactly. You know, this is going to sound really bad when I say this, but I don't want it to sound bad. But, you know, it's kind of like that thing that if, you know, when you ask somebody, you ask for permission to critique them or whatever, like you ask permission to give them criticism. So basically, if you were sitting in front of me, I would say, look, man, you know, if I had something to tell you, but I think it was going to really piss you off, but I think it could help you. Would you want me to tell you? And then the person goes, yeah, of course. Then you've kind of given that person's giving you permission to give them a criticism, and you're not attacking them. It's like you're empathizing with them. So this is what I want to do right now. It's kind of the same thing. In your mind, I'm telling you, hey, look, if there was something I was going to tell you that could probably piss you off, would you want me to tell you? And I'm going to assume that you're nodding your head. Here's the thing. I would rather have somebody at this stage of the game at rock bottom who's fed up, who's tried everything, who is just fed up and is on his last leg, and it's just like, man, there's nothing going to work. Just what do I need to do? And I just said, just okay, all you need to do is do this, and they go and do it. Every single time that person does it. Now, from my perspective, as far as getting a point across and getting somebody to actually do something, that's a good place for us to be. In reality, I don't ever want that to happen to you. I don't want you to have to go that far. But when you get that far, we'll be here for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the whole thing that more people are motivated from desperation than inspiration.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So it's almost like, you know, it's same deal. It's fear, you know, fear and pain are bigger motivators than like an inspirational sort of a drive to do something better. You have to hit rock bottom before you're like, well, this couldn't get any worse. What I'm doing now, if I continue doing what I'm doing now, that my life couldn't actually get any worse. So I can at least try something else. And it's kind of unfortunate that that's usually what has to happen to get people to do something. But at least it gets them to do something, you know, because
right.
The alternative is basically death. I mean, I don't know where else you go once you've hit rock bottom. So
right.
So yeah, hopefully you don't have to.
Yeah, people are going to start accusing me of doing sneaky future projections because I keep doing this. But, you know, if you're sitting there right now listening and you're like, man, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Based on what you're doing right now, future project, I mean, think about, okay, what are my results right now? What am I getting? You know, because like Jason, and we'll talk about this later, I mean, he decided he wanted to bulk up and he just got really fat. So that's what he did. He sat down, he kind of future projected. He was like, man, if I keep it this, I'm just going to end up huge. This isn't working for me. And so you just kind of, you can almost mentally future project this rock bottom that you're going to have. I would rather you do that than keep on doing something that's obviously not working. And don't let your ego think that something's going on that it's not. That's why the measurements are so important. I mean, if you're taking your measurements and your waist is going up, then obviously you're getting fat. So measurements don't lie. And that's why we have the AI. That's why we have the measurements and stuff like that. I mean, the scale can lie to a certain degree, but you know, obviously from water and all that stuff, but the measurements themselves don't lie. So future project where you're at right now, the things that you're doing, what you're trying. If you went 3 weeks and you haven't lost a pound yet.
And your goal is weight loss.
And your goal is weight loss. I can tell you, you're not replacing muscle with fat. I hear it all the time. It's not happening.
Right.
So basically, you need to reevaluate where you're at. If you're working out, and if your goal is muscle gain, and you're working out, and your waist is increasing, as everything else is increasing, then you're probably getting fat.
And if you're eating, you know, overeating to try to gain muscle and doing all that kind of stuff, you're trying to force something that's not possible in that time frame, and that's kind of the. This goes back to the marketing the impossible stuff. We should probably wrap up here. So what's our take-home message?
Well, the big take-home is this. I mean, and we've got other, you know, interviews that you're going to be listening to in the coming weeks. And we just kind of wanted to preface a lot of what you're going to hear because we'd rather get some of this stuff out now, whether you have to hear it 2-3 weeks from now. But the big things that you're going to get, they're kind of four key points that people – that each of our winners recognize. Number one, a dramatic increase in confidence in the way they carry themselves. Every single one of them did that. Number two was the every single one of them said that if we hadn't brought up the fact that you need to kind of check yourself and how you're acting as you change, then they would have there might have been some things that wouldn't have been as pleasant because people might have thought they were cocky or something like that. So they did see people perceive them different, and they recognize that. So you had this inner game thing that happened, the confidence. You had this outer game thing that came about of how people – perceptions. The third thing was that for the contest, these guys jumped in because there was a deadline. So a goal, a deadline, and a reward are necessary, so make sure you have those.
For anything in your life, by the way.
Right, and yeah, exactly. And so with us, obviously the goal is a great AI – you know, and the perfect stuff and getting the measurements down. And then the final thing is the simplicity aspect of it is, you know, grossly oversimplify as much as possible so that you'll actually get going. And that's the big thing. Simplicity is not a bad thing. It is a very, very, very good thing. And in fact, you know, it's really interesting. I'll close this out, but the best equations in the world are the simplest one. E equals MC squared, a simple equation. You know, all these other things where people are trying to unify all these things in physics. I mean, these things are coming into when they gel and when they come together, they're realistically simple equations. So don't think that just because something looks simple, that there's not a lot going on under the hood.
And that it's not effective. Like simple doesn't mean ineffective.
Exactly. Simple.
Actually, I would say the other way around. When it comes to anything in your life, simple is probably the only thing that is effective.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Complex is too complex. It's too hard to keep track of.
Complex is too complex. Thanks for the insight, Brad.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a one man. You know,
You're a wordsmith.
Yeah. I'm a wordsmith. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Simple probably means effective.
Yep, that's it. So And no workout in the world will never work if you don't do it.
Yep.
So just quit sitting on the sidelines and get in board or get on board or whatever you got to do. Check in.
All right. Well, I think that's good.
I think we're about cracked out. So yeah, these interviews are wearing on us. So. But all right. Well, you don't have anything else that you need to touch on, do you?
No, man. That's good for this week.
It's good. All right, man. Well, for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and this is your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.